Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my white, Christian, pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is the show for Thursday, August the 18th, and we're going to begin in Leviticus chapter 7. I had finished up 6 with a bunch of laws and stuff that was fulfilled. And some that still stand. So we'll begin this morning with the laws of slaughtering. Now any blood sacrifice for the remission of sin is done away with because it's fulfilled by Yeshua Messiah. A lot of that is in Leviticus. But there are food laws, etc., in here that are for our health and our benefit, and they still stand. So we need to be very careful as to what we disregard and what we keep. So use your spiritual discernment, please. Let's get started here. Chapter 7, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they slaughter the burnt offering, they shall slaughter the guilt offering. And the blood of it he shall sprinkle round about upon the altar. Just like in the other chapter, this is part of the ongoing ritual of the day that these laws were in effect. Verse 2. Verse 3. And he shall offer the fat of it, the rump, and the fat which covers the inner organs, and the two kidneys, and the fat which is on them, which is by the loins, and the lobes above the liver with the kidneys, he shall take away. Verse 5. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a guilt offering. Verse 6, every male among the priests shall eat of it. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. Verse 7, as the sin offering is, so is the guilt offering. There is one law for them. The priest that makes propitiation with it shall have it. And the priest that offers any man's burnt offering, the priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered, and all the grain offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is done in the frying pan, and in the pan shall be the priest that offers it. And every grain offering mixed with oil and dry, 27:20, shall all the sons of Aharon have, one as much as his brothers. And this is the law of the sacrifice of well-being, which he shall offer unto Yahweh. This is how they made their living, because they were there 24/7. As I said, they could do nothing else. Their days were consumed with all the rituals of this traveling tabernacle in that time. And this is the law of the sacrifice of well-being which he shall offer unto Yahweh. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, 8:4-6, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil of fine flour fried, 7:4-6. 13, beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread, 11:2-5:5-7, leavened bread, with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, with his offering of well-being. It wasn't all just unleavened bread. Verse 14, and of it he shall offer one out of the entire offering for a heave offering unto Yahweh. And it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the offerings of well-being. Verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his offering of well-being for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. Verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow, 5088, or a voluntary offering, 5071, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day also the remainder of it shall be eaten. Verse 17, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Verse 18, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of well-being is eaten on the third day, it shall not be accepted. 7:5-1. It negates the whole thing if you do that. That's the way Yahweh wanted it set up. Neither shall it be accounted, 2:8-3, to him that offered it. It shall be an offensive thing, 6:9-6:2. And the person that eats of it shall bear his iniquity. So, not only will it not be accepted, it will be considered offensive. Verse 19, and the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that are clean shall eat of it. Ceremoniously clean. Ceremonially clean, pardon me. Verse 20, but the person that eats of the sacrifice of well-being that pertains to Yahweh, having his uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from his people. In other words, if you didn't go bathe in the ritual manner and make sure that you were ceremonially clean to approach the altar, your sin would not be forgiven, it would be on you. That's very complicated stuff back then. It was Very different times. Very different times. Verse 21. Moreover, the person that touches any unclean thing, the uncleanness of Adam, or unclean beast, 929, or any abominable, 8263, unclean thing, and eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of well-being, which pertains to Yahweh, that person shall be cut off from his people. Because that was an insult to Yahweh. You couldn't do that. That was not acceptable. Verse 22. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat. 2, 4, 5, 9. Now that's a food law that Yahweh gave us, because fat really is not good for us. It clogs up your arteries, and it's just, you know, you trim your meat. You trim your meat because the fat is not healthful. And they knew about this back then. Yahweh gave them specific instructions. And we have a lot of health problems today because of all the fat in our diet. You shall eat no manner of fat of ox, 7794, or of sheep, 3775, or of goat, 5795. 24. And the fat of a carcass of a beast, 5038, and the fat of that which is torn by beast, 2966, may be used in any other use, 4399, but you shall in no way eat of it. In other words, you could make soap with it. You could do all this. They used the fat for lubrication and dressing leather to keep leather supple when they had leather harnesses and such for their animals. They would use that fat to dress that leather and keep it supple so it wouldn't crack and dry out. Verse 25, for whosoever eats the fat of the beast which men offer as an offering made by fire to Yahweh, that person that eats of it shall be cut off from his people. Don't eat fat. Oh well. Verse 26, moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood of bird, 5775, or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatever person that eats any manner of blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. You don't make blood pudding. You don't use the blood for any purpose. That is to be poured out upon the ground. You don't eat the blood. You when you cut the throat of an animal, you hang that animal and you let it drain. Let all the blood drain out of it onto the ground, because it is considered forbidden to eat meat that has not been properly slaughtered and prepared. Okay, let's see. Verse 28, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he that offers a sacrifice of well-being to Yahweh shall bring his offering to Yahweh of his sacrifice of well-being. Verse 30, his own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to Yahweh. the fat with the breast, he shall bring it, so that the breast may be waved, 51:30, for a wave offering, 8573, before Yahweh. Verse 31, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breasts shall be Aharon's and his sons. Verse 32, and the right shoulder, 7785, you shall give to the priest for a heave offering, 8641, of the sacrifices of your offerings of well-being. Verse 33, he among the sons of Aharon that offers the blood of the offerings of well-being and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. Verse 34, because the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off their sacrifices of well-being, and have given them to Aharon the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. And remember, forever means for a very long time. The English translation has stated forever, but in the Hebrew it means for a very long time. Because all of these sin sacrifices of blood have been fulfilled by Yeshua Messiah. And Yahweh knew that that would be coming. So he said, Olam. So that's the Hebrew. And they translate that forever. It's almost forever, but not quite forever. Verse 35, this is the portion of the anointing of Aharon and the anointing of his sons out of the offering made by fire unto Yahweh in the day when he presented 7126 them to minister to Yahweh in the priest's office. Verse 36, which Yahweh commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them, a statute forever throughout their generations. Verse 37, this is the law of the burnt offering, of the grain offering, and of the sin offering, and of the consecrations, 4394, and of the sacrifice of the offerings of well-being. Verse 38, which Yahweh commanded Moshe in Mount Sinai, 5514, in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings unto Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai. End quote. Now, chapter 7 has several food laws that are still current. We are still not to eat blood from any animal, nor the fat from clean animals that could be used for sacrifice to Yahweh. The sacrificial portion for sin remission has been fulfilled and no longer applies. And as I said, the word forever, 5769, really means, truthfully, for a very long time. Not exactly forever. And when Yeshua Messiah removed the priesthood from the Levium because it was infiltrated by the Edomites and gave it to the order of Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, that ended all of that. We don't have that physical temple here before anymore. We don't have this traveling tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant. We don't have any of that. The temple is within us, and we are to sacrifice within our own lives all of the sinful things that we used to do. They need to be put away. When you acknowledge that Yeshua is the Messiah, the anointed one for the remission of sins of Israel. Now, our references here, verses 26 and 27, you can reference Genesis 9, verse 4, Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 14, and 19:26, and Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16 and 23, and 15, verse 23. So that ends chapter 7. Now we'll get into chapter 8. These are fairly quick reads because they're all instructional things and don't take a lot of time for lots of comments, but some of the stuff is still pertinent, some of it is not. Chapter 8, verse 1. Dyslexia strikes again. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, "Take Aharon and his sons with him, and the garments, and the oil of anointing, and a young bull for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of matzah. And gather all the congregation together unto the door of the tent of meeting." Okay, they're going to have a little confab there. Verse 4. "And did Moshe as Yahweh commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tent of meeting." "And said Moshe to the congregation, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded to be done." Verse 6. "And Moshe brought Aharon and his sons and washed them with water." Verse 7. "And he put upon him the garment and girded 2296 him with the sash," 73, "and clothed him with the robe," 4598, "and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with a woven waistband," 2805, "of the ephod, and bound it to him with it." Verse 8. "And he put the breastplate," 2833, "upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim, 224, and the Tumim, 8550. Those were used to cast lots, and they were sacred objects, sacred stones. Verse 9. "And he put the turban, 4701, upon his head, also upon the turban, upon his forehead, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, 5145, as Yahweh commanded Moshe." Verse 10. "And took Moshe the oil of anointing and anointed the tabernacle, 4908, and all that was in it, and set them apart." They were now dedicated to Yahweh. verse 11. And he sprinkled of it seven times upon the altar, the holy number seven. Yahweh likes that number. And anointed the altar and all its vessels, 3627, that's Kalev, both the laver, 3595, and its stand, 3563, to set them apart. They were dedicated, set apart for the use to Yahweh, for no other use. And he poured the oil of anointing upon the head of Aharon, and anointed him to set him apart. That was a big thing, the consecration, to set him apart to Yahweh. Verse 13, and brought Moshe Aharon's sons and put garments upon them and girded them with sashes and put turbans, 4021, upon them, as Yahweh had commanded Moshe. Verse 14, and brought he the young bull for the sin offering, and Aharon and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the young bull for the sin offering. They did that to impart their sin onto that young bull that would be slaughtered. Verse 15, and he slaughtered it. And Moshe took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger and purified 2398. Now that 2398 can mean sin, as in missing the mark of duty. It can mean the offering for that sin, which it does here. He purified the altar, that is the offering of the blood, for the remission of the sins of Aharon and his sons. Continuing on, and poured the blood at the base of the altar and set it apart to make propitiation upon it. It was ceremonially clean and dedicated. Verse 16, and he took all the fat that was upon the inner organs and the lobes above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moshe burned it upon the altar. But the young bull and its hide, its flesh, and its dung he burned with fire outside the camp, as Yahweh commanded Moshe. Because they laid their hands on that bull was now unclean. It carried the sin for them. So they burned it up completely. Nobody would eat that because they would be eating sin ceremonially. Verse 18, and he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aharon and his sons laid their hand upon the head of the ram. Verse 19, and he slaughtered it, and Moshe sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moshe burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. Verse 21, and he washed the inner organs and the legs in water, and Moshe burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt offering for a pleasing odor, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, as Yahweh commanded Moshe. Now, when he burnt that as a burnt offering, that smoke that ascended from the burning meat and the hide and all the other stuff was like incense. You didn't eat any of that. That was burnt up and sent up in smoke to Yahweh. Verse 22, and he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aharon and his sons laid their hands upon the head of that ram, of the ram. And he slaughtered it. And Moshe took the blood of it and put it upon the tip, 8571, of Aharon's right ear, and upon the thumb, 931, of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aharon's sons, and Moshe put the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toes of their right feet, and Moshe sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inner organs and the lobes above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder. And from the basket of matzah that was before Yahweh, he took one matzah and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them upon the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aharon's hands and upon his son's hand and waved them for a wave offering before Yahweh. And Moshe took them from upon their hands and burnt them upon the altar upon the burnt offering, and they were set apart for a pleasing odor. It was an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. That's a different ceremony. Verse 29. And Moshe took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before Yahweh for the ram of set apartness. It was Moshe's part as Yahweh commanded Moshe. Verse 30, and Moshe took of the oil of anointing and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aharon and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him and set apart Aharon and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And said Moshe to Aharon and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tent of meeting, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of set apartness, as I commanded, saying, Aharon and his sons shall eat it. Verse 32, and that which remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire. Verse 33, and you shall not go out of the door of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your set apartness are at an end. For 7 days, he, speaking of Yahweh, will set you apart. Okay, verse 34. As he has done this day, so Yahweh has commanded to be done to make propitiation for you. Verse 35. Therefore you shall abide at the door of the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and keep 8104. The charge, 4931, of Yahweh, so that you shall not die, for so I am commanded. Verse 36, so Aharon and his sons did all the things which Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moshe. Okay, this is the story. This whole chapter has been the story of the consecration, the setting apart of Aharon and his sons for the service to Yahweh. I used the word consecration in verse 22 and set apartness in 29. They are the same thing. They have that dual connotation. Another word that is misused in the King James Version and some of the others is atonement. Atonement has the connotation of permanence and the covering over of sin. In the Hebrew means propitiation. It's a hiding of the sin for a year. Okay, the animal sacrifices covered the people's sins. And the blood of Messiah covered our sins. But the difference is animal blood needed to be shed yearly as it was an inferior sacrifice. It was not a permanent, perfect sacrifice. Yeshua Messiah's blood was pure and sinless, therefore perfect. And that sacrifice needed to be done only once. That was a willing sacrifice by him for us. And propitiation has been made for those that believe in Yahweh and the truth of his Messiah. With the acceptance of that eternal truth, Israel may be free from all the vast ritual of the sacrificial law, and redemption is at hand. He took the priesthood away from the Levites for the reason that the Aharonic priesthood was no longer the Aharonic priesthood. It was the Edomite priesthood. They had supplanted the true priests with these stinking Edomites, like they have done in the churches today, where they've corrupted the seminary schools and they're teaching all this Talmudic Christianity. And he kicked them out of the priesthood back then, and they're not to have sway over us. The only way they have it is if we give it to them. And we have done that. A lot of people have done that. These Judeo-Christian churches and all their rigmarole running up to the altar. Oh, I've sinned. And then next week they do it again. They don't stop their lifestyle. They don't stop doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's fake. That's not salvation. Salvation is an earth-shaking experience when you really, really get it. You don't want to do those things that you did before. The Holy Spirit says no. But if you continue in that and you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no more forgiveness. You're done. You can lose your salvation. And most of the churches teach once saved, always saved, and that is not true. That is false doctrine. You cannot continue in your sinful lifestyle and claim salvation. You're spitting on it by your actions in your life. Oh, well. You can reference in verse 33 here, and the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English, chapter 83, verse 2. We're going to do chapter 9 here because it is a very short little chapter. So we're going to get three chapters in today, 7, 8, and 9. chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to be on the eighth day, 8066, that Moshe called Aharon and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aharon, take a young bull calf for a sin offering and a ram without blemish and bring them before Yahweh. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take you a male of the goats for a sin offering, and a young bull calf, and a male lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram for offering of well-being, to sacrifice before Yahweh, and a grain offering mixed with oil, because Yahweh will appear to you today. He was gonna show up in the pillar of cloud. Okay. And they brought that which Moshe commanded before the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the presence of Yahweh. Verse 6, and Moshe said, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded that you should do. And the glory of Yahweh shall appear unto you. And Moshe said to Aharon, go to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make propitiation for yourself and for the people, and slaughter the offering of the people, and make propitiation for them as Yahweh commanded. Well, this is the new set apart priest, and he was going to do propitiation for the people of Israel. They were all gathered together out in the wilderness. They were not at Jerusalem with the permanent temple. So they were all in one spot. And they could do this. He called them all to go, hey, everybody gather around. So they did that. They were not multiplied and scattered out into villages and towns, and they didn't have their inheritance yet. They weren't in the promised land. They were out in the wilderness, all gathering together and traveling as one big group of people. Verse 8, Aharon therefore went to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aharon brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. Again, repetition. But the fat and the kidneys and the lobe above the liver of the sin offering he burned upon the altar as Yahweh commanded Moshe. Verse 11, and the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire outside of the camp. Couldn't burn that on the altar because it carried the sin. So they had to destroy it completely with fire outside of the camp. Verse 12, and he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aharon's son presented the blood to him, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. Verse 13, and they presented to him the burnt offering with the pieces of it and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. That was like an incense offering that could be burned on the altar. It didn't carry the sin. Verse 14, and he washed the inner organs and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. Verse 15, and he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin as the first. Verse 16, and he brought the burnt offering, different offering, and offered it according to the proper manner. Verse 17, and he brought the grain offering and took a handful of it and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt offering of the morning. Verse 18, he also slaughtered the bull and the ram for a sacrifice of well-being, which was for the people, and Aharon's son presented the blood to him, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bull and of the ram, the rump, it and that which covers the internal organs, and the kidneys, and the lobes above the liver. Verse 20, and they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. Verse 21, and the breast and the right shoulder Aharon waved for a wave offering before Yahweh, as Moshe commanded. Verse 22, and Aharon lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the offerings of well-being. And Moshe and Aharon went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the people. Verse 24, and there came a fire out from the presence of Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw, they shouted for joy, 7442, and fell, 5307, on their faces. They prostrated themselves before Yahweh with joy because their sin had been consumed by Yahweh's fire. Wow. That was a beautiful recounting. They didn't stay clean. They kept doing what they were going to do. Just like we do today. We haven't changed all that much from those days. We don't live in tents, except during the Feast of Tabernacles. But now we've got all these new idols in our cities and on the Talmud vision of the American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, Jersey Shore, all that real high value content of, you know, the Ellen DeGeneres show and all the other garbage that's on the Talmud vision. And boy, oh boy. Let's go into chapter 9 notes here. We'll take up chapter 10 tomorrow because it's going to be the story of Nadab and Abihu, and we want to devote a whole thing to that. And don't want to get in the middle and have to stop. This chapter 9, was the initial sanctification sacrifices. And we don't have to do any of this anymore, because the remission of our sin was done by Yahshua. But in verse 7, you can reference the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 7, verse 27. And in verse 18,
you can reference the book of Leviticus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. In verse 22, you can reference the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 26. And verse 24, you can reference 5307, if you look it up. It means to bow low and prostrate oneself. To fall on the ground in worship, to stretch out your hands with your face toward the ground in absolute humble submission and worship. That's when they said they fell on their faces, that's what that means. 5307 is to fall, nafal. Okay. So that covers 7, 8, and 9. And that covers all the commandments for the initial sanctification of the Aharonic priesthood. The prior chapters gave the instructions, but here in chapter 9 we have the actual act. They did this sanctification and the purification of the people for the first time out in the wilderness with that offering. And Yahweh appeared to them in that cloud, and his glory was such that it just overwhelmed the people. They knew who was appearing and fell down and worshiped. That would be an awesome thing. And if Yahweh appeared today, I would do the same thing. There would be no different reaction from me as a modern Israelite. Yahweh is always Yahweh and is always ultra awesome. When our Master Yeshua, Messiah, returns for us, I will fall on my face and worship. All out, just complete devotion, because he is the physical manifestation of Yahweh. Now he has a perfect body. That body of the man he inhabited, that he was born into, has been changed. And we will receive that type of dwelling place. Regardless, you know, here I am, I'm an old man, I wear glasses, I only have some of my teeth left. I have a hearing problem, and I got a sinus problem, and I have some arthritis, which he has basically cured. He has blessed me beyond measure, and I'm running around like a young man now, because he has given me these natural remedies, and my fellow Israelites, out of love, have helped me, as we are to do for one another. I am truly blessed. I've got people that care about me. It's insignificant. Oh man, you got a radio show. This is nothing. This show is not about me. This show is about the Word. I'm just a guy that's been called to read it on the air, and I've been given spiritual insight, and been able to translate the Hebrew because he gave me that gift of the language. I could never, as a normal man, I could never learn that language that quickly as I did in 13 years to learn Hebrew. That's a lifelong study. And all the research material has been gifted to me. My life is a testimony to the power of Yahweh. As silly and stupid as I have been in my life and wasted most of my life, I've been given a shot at being a servant. He has called me of all people. And no one is more astounded at this than I am. I mean, my life was just wasted. I was just like everybody else. Went through doing all the normal daily earthly things and didn't think a thing of it. And got involved with the militia and the Klan and all that. And at one time, the Klan had its purpose. But those days are over. And the militia is not going to do anything. They're going to talk. But they're not going to do, because the time is not right. The army of Yahweh will deal with these enemies. And the army of Yahweh has the general, the commander, and he's not here right now. Now, we can fight the good fight in the courts and delaying action. We can stand up for our rights. We can stand up as Israelites. Say, no, I don't do these things in my life. I have the Messiah. I don't eat pork. I don't do this. I don't work on the Shabbat day. I don't watch porn. I'm not a drunk. I'm not a drug user. I'm a set-apart Israelite. This we can do. We can live our life and set an example and fight the fight that way. When Yahshua returns, he will return with his angels in flaming fire, and we are called out ones. If we are attacked before he gets here, we are to defend ourselves. He's not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. The turn-the-cheek deal was for his disciples when they were beginning their ministry, and he didn't want any interference in that ministry by them getting in confrontations with fools. Eventually, they laid down their lives. They were killed because of their testimony of Yahshua. Some of us may go that route today. But rest assured, brothers and sisters, we'll be back. This life is only a testing ground. These temples we live in are only temporary. The real ones coming with Yahshua. There is no God but Yahweh, and no Redeemer but Yahshua HaMashiach. I will say Shalom Aleichem to all my Israelite brothers and sisters. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow, beginning with chapter 10 of the book of Leviticus. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.